here at the World War II Memorial, and there are so many great facets to this place. Senator Bob Dole worked tirelessly to raise the funds and do all of the situations necessary to have this beautiful place. We're going to take various pictures, and hopefully the pictures will speak for themselves. But it's a beautiful place to be here at the World War II Memorial. The World War II Memorial is right here in the nation's capital. It was dedicated Memorial Day weekend 2004. It is a wonderful tribute to the men and women who fought in World War II to free us from tyranny, and to those who paid the supreme sacrifice as well.
All of you loved liberty. All of you were willing to fight tyranny. And you knew the people of your countries were behind you. The Americans who fought here that morning knew word of the invasion was spreading through the darkness back home. They fought, or felt in their hearts, though they couldn't know in fact, that in Georgia they were filling the churches at 4 a.m. In Kansas, they were kneeling on their porches and praying. And in Philadelphia, they were ringing the Liberty Bell. Something else helped the men of D-Day: their rock-hard belief that Providence would have a great hand in the events that would unfold here, that God was an ally in this great cause. And so, the night before the invasion, when Colonel Wolverton asked his parachute troops to kneel with him in prayer, he told them, "Do not bow your heads, but look up so you can see God and ask His blessing in what we are about to do." Also that night, General Matthew Ridgway on his cot, listening in the darkness for the promise God made to Joshua, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." These are the things that impelled them. These are the things that shaped the unity of the Allies. When the war was over, there were lives to be rebuilt and governments to be returned to the people. There were nations to be reborn. Above all, there was a new peace to be assured. These were huge and daunting tasks, but the Allies summoned strength from the faith, belief, loyalty, and love of those who fell here.
Hello, friends. It's wonderful to be with you tonight. I feel like I've been around the world, and excuse my appearance, but I just made a hurried trip in from the Indianapolis airport. I've been in Norwood, Missouri over the weekend, and our plane got delayed going out there, got delayed today in Chicago, and we were hoping to be home 4 or 5 hours ago, but I just ran through the door, and I appreciate my good friend Jarrett Haas for being of assistance to me tonight. We have an exciting program, and I believe, Don Newsom, if we have my good friend Steve Keck, if we could bring him into the program, that would be wonderful. And Steve Keck is my friend. I've stayed all night in his home there in Somerset, Kentucky, Pulaski County, with he and Jody. He's a Christian businessman. And Steve, thank you. Thank you that you would take time. You're a busy, busy person, but thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, you're very welcome, and I appreciate the invitation, and always, always good to be with you, Andrew.
Well, Steve knows that I normally wear a tie, but I came in and I ran to the closet and just got a coat. But Steve, your son Alan is the mayor of Somerset, Kentucky, and
that's right.
Made a bid for the governorship, the gubernatorial campaign down there, and I've been privileged to be with Alan, and he's such a wonderful Christian man, and he brings a flavor to the political narrative that we so need today, and that's integrity and Christian principles. I want you to elaborate on how that you, as a business person, I know that you and Jody, you are very liberal with your support of Christian outreaches. I'd like for you to elaborate just a little bit on that as to how that you see your business is called Five
Talents Financial.
Five Talents. I was about to say that, but I thought, well, I don't want to miss Five. Tell us a little bit of the background of Five Talents.
Well, the company was started in 2009, and it was a remarkable spiritual journey that got us involved in that particular business. And at the time, we already had another company. Well, we were in the recycling business, and we were very busy. We had over 100 full-time employees in the recycling business, but there were circumstance and situation and personnel and scripture and ultimately the Holy Spirit led us to start that business. And it was undeniable. It was so strong. And I remember specifically one night in February of 2009 that I went to the Lord in prayer, and reverently I was trying to talk him out of it. And I said, Lord, I don't have time for another business. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit emphatically said, I don't need your wisdom. I don't mind him being vulnerable about that. And as soon as he lovingly reprimanded me and said he didn't need my wisdom, I caught myself thinking, I just told the creator of the universe my agenda. Well, and then I made the, said, well, what's the next step? And the Holy Spirit said, the next step is obedience.
Isn't that amazing?
So we, my wife, Jody, and I, and our oldest son, Michael, decided to start Five Talents Financial Group, mergers and acquisitions. Basically, we help companies and individuals sell their businesses. And we named it Five Talents out of the parable of the Five Talents, Matthew 25. He who was gifted went and multiplied it.
Surely. Well, you told me, and of course, we've had some wonderful conversations, and I was privileged to come down to Kentucky to speak in behalf of Alan, and it was a privilege. I counted it a privilege. I felt like that I gained new friends, and you had told me, as I recall, when I stayed all night with you, I know I got up the next morning and Jody had some delicious pancakes and sausage there for me. And we had a good time, didn't we?
We had a wonderful time.
And but anyway, you were telling me, Brother Steve, that how that in your business decisions, that sometimes that it wasn't always peaches and cream, that you went through what we would call some trials or some times when maybe you just wondered how things were going to turn out. But through it all, the Lord has blessed Steve Keck and your involvement in the community. I know that you told me about that, but the Lord has been faithful to you, hadn't he?
Yes, yes, he has. And he's always been faithful. And as you know, Andrew, from there's a lot of parallels in my life and your life. As you know, the ministry's not easy either. And there's times when you've had very fatigue, financial challenges. And so, yeah, that's part of it. So, yeah, we've had a lot of challenges over 40 years in the business world.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
This is, I guess, our third podcast, and you have honored me by being on it. And I'm expecting some great things to come from this. You know what we're trying to do, and you know me well. We're just trying to promote faith, family, freedom. We're trying to promote things that we feel are basic to every individual, to families. We're all about the faith of our fathers, our Christian principles, the family as the nucleus of civilization. And Brother Steve, that would tear down what you and I hold dear, the idea. Someone said this to me. They said, if we have not freedom of religion to be able to speak in the public square what we believe about our faith, they said, we really don't have any rights. And so I know you, like I started to comment a while ago, it isn't in life itself. There are ups and downs. There are mountains, there are plateaus, and sometimes valleys. And I know that in your outreach, there in your five talents from Matthew 25, that you're trying to make not just maybe a comfortable living, but you're trying to do something and leave a legacy for those to follow.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, part of the vision that God gave me, and actually a mandate, it wasn't just a suggestion, but I felt like for me not to start the business would be an act of disobedience to the Creator. But the and we are a for-profit enterprise, but if it was just about the money, I wouldn't do it. But it's the ministry opportunities and the finances, of course, because
sure.
The average business owner, 80 to 90% of their net worth is in the equities of their company. Mm-hmm. So once that business is sold, then that provides funding, finances for that seller to do mm-hmm. with whatever they want to do. And presumably, a lot of it will flow to wonderful causes like yourself and other pastors.
Well, you know, I know one thing I have picked up from you, Brother Steve Keck, is this. You heavily rely upon, as best you can determine it, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I believe that about you. I know I've been with you when you would prayerfully ask the Lord's help, whether it was just sitting in your car or trying to maybe help Brother Allen in his pursuits or whatever. You always seem to say, well, I believe God will do what he feels and what God knows is the best for us. And sometimes whether we feel it or not, He's always acting in our best interests.
That's right. Well, there's no question about it. Well, I personally had such a radical salvation that my faith became instant and significant at the age of 40 and a half years old. And at that moment, the Holy, March 31st, 1994, about 9 p.m.
My goodness, bro. Well, yeah. Listen, you have come to hear me speak in churches down in your area. You have helped. And I know this, and I want to tell the people this. We haven't rehearsed this.
No.
I know that in your business, like I said, I came running through the door here just about 4 or 5 minutes ago, whatever. But I know that you look for businesses that somebody might be interested in buying, and that you do that, and you know real estate, and whether it's somebody might want to have a farm that they'd like to, and I know you really get into the upper echelon, so to speak, because this is what you do. And I don't know, Steve, I think it would be appropriate if anybody needed to contact you as a Christian man that they can trust. How can they do that? Do you have an email or anything for them?
Well, actually, it would be great if they would just reach out to you and give you the information. I think that would be the best step.
Right. And also while we're here, I do want to say this, Steve, about Genesis Gold. I know that Mike Lindell, that we all know from MyPillow and other places, he's a Christian conservative. And I know that he's a firm believer in Genesis Gold. And those of you that might have an interest and pursue that, of course, our Faith, Family, and Freedom programming is being underwritten, as I understand it, in part or maybe wholly through Genesis Gold. So I want to thank them for also, I think, you know, we're always interested in credible businesses. We're not out for any shenanigans or anything like that. We don't deal in that. And I know you don't, Brother Steve.
No, but
listen, I want to thank you. And you and I could talk a good while. We have had some of the best fellowship over a cup of coffee or whatever. Of course, you know, down in Somerset, Kentucky, it's such a place in rich heritage. You're not far from Cumberland Falls, and your congressman down there, Harold Rogers, that I know quite well. And it's just a wonderful place. And I've been up there to City Hall, where Alan Keck is doing a wonderful job. And I hope you communicate to our friends there how that we appreciate our heritage. You know, my dad was born and reared just in the Wayne County, Monticello,
yes,
Kentucky area.
I remember us talking about that.
Right. And my mother was over in McCreary County. And while we're this close to June the 6th, that's why I wanted some clips about Normandy and about D-Day, Omaha, and Utah landing. I had a good friend, Claude Smith, that was at the Utah landing, and I don't want folks to think I'm bragging, but my first cousin, Wilburn Kirby Ross, won the Medal of Honor in World War II, October the 30th at St. Jacques, France. And there he did bravery beyond the call of duty. And Sergeant York from right over in the neighboring state of Tennessee came to his reception on June the 16th, 1945. So, Steve, I do want to thank the families and the people. You know, over this Memorial Day weekend, we recognize those that gave all. Now, we know some people gave, and we recognize them in Veterans Day, and we should, But this Memorial Day, Steve Keck, is when we take time out to think about those, as Reagan called them, the boys of Pointe du Hoc, that went up those cliffs there at Normandy, and so many. You know, I think they said they had 240 going up there, and it got down to about 90. And Reagan, as only he could describe it, talked about how they had prayer there in Georgia at 4 o'clock in the morning. Almost bring a tear to my eyes, Steve, to think about moms and dads praying for their sons in a faraway place, knowing that maybe some of them would never come back home, and they didn't. In Flanders Field in World War I, the poppies grow, and row after row, and we recognize those that just, they went because they love this country, they love their families, they love God, and they didn't want to see America defeated. And so we have a tremendous opportunity, Brother Steve. We have a good responsibility. With that opportunity comes a responsibility. And I want to contend as long as God would give me breath. I want to be a patriot. I want to be a Christian servant of the Most High God. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Well, congratulations. I think you've done it for decades, and you continue to do it well. I remember the first time you and I met, after a revival service at a church down in this area, not in Somerset, but just I think around Eubank.
You're right.
After the service, I went up and introduced myself and thanked you for coming, and you invited me out to dinner that night. And I remember thinking, I don't know if we can find a place still open at this point, but anyway, we did. And that was the start of
brother
a lifetime relationship, I know.
Yeah, Brother Doug Lester from over in Ohio had introduced, or at least had recommended that I get in touch with you. And Brother Steve Keck, thank you for taking time tonight. And listen, I'm going to make it a point to get back down there and visit with you folks.
Oh, be great.
And stay all night again. I've got to stay all night.
That'll be great. We'll look forward to it.
Well, have a good evening, and tell Miss Jody, send our love to her as well, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
God bless you, brother, and keep it up. Keep going. Yeah,
you too. Good night. All right.
And, it's a wonderful. And I think, Don Newsom, you're doing such a beautiful job, or I don't know who all might be assisting, whether it's just you or somebody else. But would it be appropriate now to do that good song, that Greater Vision and Gerald Wolfe do in their hymns?
This is going to be good. Page 12. When he calls me, I'll fly away.
Yeah.
And the great song there that says, when he calls, I'll fly away. Isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of gospel singing that we need. And I've had it on television and radio now for years and years and years. Actually, this coming year, I will be celebrating 50 years of trying to promote music that inspires, music that helps to lift the spirit. You know, they say music is the message of the soul. And these songs, they're not good because some of them are old. They're old because they're good. And I've had the privilege of going up where Miss Fanny Crosby wrote some of her beautiful songs where she's died, where she's buried, and her home church where she attended, you know, Fanny Crosby. She was born in 1820, died in 1915, and never was able to see, but she wrote a lot of great songs. Bill Gaither has certainly been a master craftsman when it comes to songwriting, and Rodney Griffin that sings with greater vision. My, what beautiful songs he has put pen and paper to. And of course, I think that just good music helps us to alleviate some of the stress and some of the difficulties of the day. There's something about a song that'll just help us. It motivates us and gives us clarity and a buoyancy to our spirit. And isn't that wonderful? This is why I believe this podcast is going to be such a success. We're going to add things to it that you're not likely to see in maybe other forms. And we're going to try to have a good variety. I think that's the word. Different segues, things that will be beneficial. We're going to have clips of good material, some done on location. We're going to be bringing some very soon to you. Maybe, might be in the next broadcast or so. We're going to be showing you some film footage that we actually did at Independence Hall, Philadelphia, Washington's Crossing of the Delaware, Valley Forge, and some of that great stuff. And we have material that we have filmed for a good while, and we are going to share those nuggets with you because we feel like the time is so critical. You know, as we get into the year of 2024, it's not long. We're going to be having an election. It'll get here sooner than maybe we might think. And this is an important election. It's not only important for the legislative branch. It's not only important for the judiciary, you know, because the people in power, they appoint a lot of, or most of the federal courts, the appellate courts, the federal district courts, and the Supreme Court. And it's been said that the law is what the judges say it is. And so these decisions, like Engle versus Vitale in 1962, are decisions like Roe v. Wade 1973, the one that gave some degree of legitimacy to abortion. My, I believe it was Judge Alito, maybe, or one of the other prominent judges that said that it was the most barbaric decision ever made by the Supreme Court. Maybe right up there with the decisions in the Dred Scott case back in the 1850s when the Supreme Court gave a cover for slavery, an ugly decision that said that basically slaves were property. Well, if you have seen the diagrams and of the abortion, I think it will illuminate you as to how barbaric it is that these little babies, I call them babies, can feel pain in the womb. And I don't know, maybe we have that that little piece there by Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. I like him. I think he says with common sense what so many of us believe. And if we have that ready, I'd like to show that little piece that Senator Kennedy asked about and maybe showed. And let's see if we can get that. And if not, we will go and have a bumper right here.
We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. Their lives ended in places called Bellow Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom.
And Don, let's go to Steve Nortier. I believe he's on line one. And let's bring in my friend Steve Nortier.
Well, I am here, and it's so good to hear you. I had two of my favorite things, that beautiful piece of music with Gerald Wolf, and then my favorite president in the whole entire world. How are you, Brother Phipps?
Oh, Brother Steve, I am doing so well. Thank you. Is Grand Rapids, Michigan home to you?
Yes, sir, it is for the last 20 years. That's correct. I'm a Baptist preacher's kid from the Thumb area, but I've been here for 20 years now. I'm real happy with it.
Well, you know, I've been in Michigan some, but I'd like to get back up there. I'd like to get up there in some of the churches. I just did a meeting in Norwood, Missouri. Now, in case you don't know where that is, you're probably not by yourself. Norwood is over not too far, maybe 60 miles from Springfield, Branson area. So many people that go to Branson for vacation. And so I was there from, actually, my plane was delayed Friday night, so I didn't get there. I just called the preacher and I said, I'm so sorry. But I said, we're locked in here in Chicago. We couldn't get out. I mean, the weather. And so I made it in late, got in late, and then we didn't have a motel room where it was supposed to be. So, but it worked out. And then I spoke on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Brother Reg Kelly is the pastor there, and it's just straight down the pike Bible preaching. And you know, the thing that impressed me, Brother Steve, was I think I'm not overstating it to say there might have been 125 young kids plus that were in the choir, and they were singing the old songs like Steve Nortier likes to hear. And it was wonderful. And, you know, these kids were so mature. I told my wife, Shireen, I said, these kids, the young boys had their cowboy hats and everybody was wearing boots down to the little bitty guys. And but they would come to you, they would thank you for hearing your sermon, and they were so kind. They just, and you know what, I made a mention on my Facebook that that place right there, the beautiful campgrounds and what they were having there in their Memorial Day weekend camp meeting, those kids have a maturity about them. They're not out looking hedonistic or whatever the word is. They those kids, they are taught manners. They're respectful. They look well, and they were gracious and kind. It looked like they were beyond their years in their behavior. So that gave me some hope. I come back here, got in tonight, and with a renewed spirit. I think that if we can get churches and get people acclimated once again to rearing children, there's nothing more important than taking care of your kids. You know, I got a text today from somebody, and they were trying to get me all upset maybe over my stand for two genders, male and female. And they said, well, are you saying that there was mention of this in the Bible? I said, well, God destroyed a city, actually destroyed two for it. And so my stand, Steve, is not to be ugly nor abrasive, but we're going to speak truth to error as best we can find it. And the wokeism and the cancel culture and all like that, we're going to take it on head first right here on this podcast.
That's exactly it. And you're going to be celebrating 50 years of celebration, too. Don't forget that.
You know, your friend and mine, Scott Godsey, you know, Scott needs to call in sometime. He just needs to do that. And I think he mentioned through you that he wanted me to speak next year, maybe at the Singing in the Sun, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I hope that might get finalized. I would certainly appreciate that.
Well, we're going to help try to get that happening, that's for sure. I know we've got to try to get you up here. Ernie Haas is going to be at Sandy Pines here in August, which is like an old Methodist campground type experience. And
Oh, yes.
I think that's where we need to have you speak too. It's a great place, and a lot of people come there on Sunday nights.
I met Ernie
Haas.
It's so
good to hear you.
Oh, I met Ernie Haas and that Doug Anderson that stands with him. Doug is from our neighboring town of Anderson, Indiana, and I've been with Doug. He rode with me.
Yeah, he's Scott's stepbrother.
Yeah, well, he rode with me on a campaign bus back in 2000. And but Ernie Haas, of course, was George Younce's son-in-law, and of course still is, but since Brother George is gone, but Ernie Haas was considered a wonderful tenor singer, and especially when he would do that song that What a Savior. And I think that's kind of a signature song with him. And he does it as only he can. But that's the kind of thing that I would like to attend, Steve. And you have helped me in immeasurable ways, in ways that you've given me an enthusiasm to really fight the good fight.
Well, you are very well worth it. And I so enjoy you. You have no idea.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. And, you know, it might be good. We didn't have this formatted just exactly. I should have done. But here again, I've been in Chicago, Illinois airport for a good portion of the day. And I got to thinking I ought to try to get an Uber and just drive home, you know, but, I wonder if we could find another a promo for Genesis Gold. I certainly don't want to do anything that would not indicate how appreciative I am of the people that support this podcast.
Absolutely. We'll get that done. In fact, Jonathan Rose, the owner, will come on and do an interview with you.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, just whenever you just pull the strings, and I'll be like that guy that was arguing with the ventriloquist. And he told that he started a rebuttal, and he was really arguing with the ventriloquist. And the guy, the ventriloquist, he spoke openly and said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm not talking to you." He said, "I'm talking to that guy on your lap." And so I hope that they might be able to join us here tonight.
No, they're going to love you. I do. And thank you to the twins, the Newsom twins. They're doing a great job, too.
Oh, Doug and Don Newsom. And also I want to thank my friend Jared Haas, who came by tonight, and he's worked all day. And this is a new endeavor for him as well. His dad, Charles, knows media and technology about as well as anybody that I know, but the fellow that had helped me wasn't available. So at the last minute, I make a desperation call. It's kind of like, "Can you help me? I'm over the cliff." And Jared Hoff came in and graciously has helped me, because my knowledge of technology could be put in one word. It's not there. I mean, no, I guess is the word I'm searching for. And
it's coming. You're going to learn quite a bit. So, well, I'll let you get back to your show. I just wanted to say how much we appreciate you. You're the best.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good day. God bless. I was looking forward also to having Marlon Stutzman. I've known Marlon a good while. He was a former congressman from up here in the 3rd District in Indiana, Christian man. He and his wife, Christy. And I've known them. But Marlon is now, as events would have it, Jim Banks, who had come from the state Senate, and when Marlon gave up the seat to run for U.S. Senate, Jim Banks took his old seat. Now Jim Banks is running for United States Senator and is the Republican nominee. And so Marlon Stutzman is now running for that again. I told him today, I called him, and he said, "Well, Andrew," he said, "I squeaked by." But anyway, a win is a win, and I know that he'll join us. I'm sure there might have been a miscommunication somehow, and these folks get busy. They get very busy. I've been invited today to be with our governor nominee, Mike Braun, this coming Saturday in Anderson. Jerry Alexander reached out to me, and also they're going to be declaring, or at least telling folks who the lieutenant governor candidate that they prefer. And I heard about it today, but I don't know much about it, so I'll leave that for another time. But Mike Braun left the U.S. Senate and is now running for governor of our state. I've known Mike Braun for 6 years. I've interviewed him several times in Washington, D.C. He invited me down to his farm down in Jasper, Indiana, and maybe I'll get to do that sometime. But it's been an exciting night, and I certainly appreciate Don and Doug Newsom for covering for me until I could make it up I-69 from Indianapolis. And I'm sure I was over the speed limit a little bit, but I kept thinking, boy, I would really be in duress if a state policeman were to get a hold of me right now. But I don't like breaking the law, but I guess we all sometimes get over the speed limit a little when we're out on the highways, but we should always drive carefully, cautiously, and drive considerately, knowing that other people are out on the highways. And I hope that next week that we can just fill up the caller lines here at BBS Radio TV And I want to do that. And I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. And hopefully I won't be suppressed and so in a hurry to get everything done. And we'll have a more relaxed attitude maybe. And again, I don't like to dress slovenly or even whatever, but tonight I didn't have much choice. But I want to thank you for joining us on this BBS Radio TV podcast. Thank you. I hope you'll tell your neighbors and friends about it. Let's make this the greatest. Let's do something here that will make people proud that they took some time. There is, you see my email address. Again, if you want to visit our website, we have a book. It's Always a Struggle, but feel free to get in touch with us. And I'm going to look forward to being with you at the next opportunity. God bless and have a good evening.